For this reason, men ought frequently to recall these things to mind, since they will incite one to do good and withdraw one from evil. Therefore, very significantly, at the end of the creed is placed, life everlasting, so that it would be more and more deeply impressed on the memory. To this life everlasting may the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed God forever, bring us. Amen. Explanation OFTHETE and Commandments. THETE and Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. Thou shalt not make to thyself a graven thing, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, nor of those things that are in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not adore them, nor serve them. I'm the Lord thy God, mighty, jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. 2. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. 3. Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 4. Honor thy father and thy mother. 5. Thou shalt not kill. 6. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 7. Thou shalt not steal. 8. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. 9. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. 10. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor his field, nor his servant, nor his handmaid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his. 21. The first commandment, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. The entire law of Christ depends upon charity, and charity depends on two precepts, one of which concerns loving God and the other concerns loving our neighbor. Now God, in delivering the law to Moses, gave him 10 commandments written upon 2 tablets of stone. 3 of these commandments that were written on the first tablet referred to the love of God, and the 7 commandments written on the other tablet related to the love of our neighbor. The whole law, therefore, is founded on these two precepts. 1. The first commandment, which relates to the love of God, is thou shalt not have strange gods. For an understanding of this commandment, one must know how of old it was violated. Some worship demons. All the gods of the Gentiles are devils too. This is the greatest and most detestable of all sins. Even now there are many who transgress this commandment, all such as practice divinations and fortune telling. Such things, according to Saint Augustine, cannot be done without some kind of pact with the devil. I would not that you should be made partakers with devils. 3. Some worship the heavenly bodies, believing the stars to be gods. They have imagined the sun and the moon to be the gods that rule the world. For this reason Moses forbade the Jews to raise their eyes or adore the sun and moon and stars. Keep therefore your souls carefully, lest perhaps lifting up thy eyes to heaven, thou see the sun and the moon, and all the stars of heaven, and being deceived by error thou adore and serve them, which the Lord thy God created for the service of all the nations. 5. The astrologers sin against this commandment, in that they say that these bodies are the rulers of souls, when in truth they were made for the use of man whose sole ruler is God. The others worship the lower elements. They imagined the fire or the wind to be gods. 6. Into this error also fall those who wrongly use the things of this earth, and love them too much, or a covetous person who is a server of idols. 7. Some men have erred in worshipping their ancestors. This arose from 3 causes. 1. From their carnal nature. For a father, being afflicted with a bitter grief, made to himself the image of his son who was quickly taken away, and him who then had died as a man, he began now to worship as a god, and appointed him rites and sacrifices among his servants. 8. Because of flattery. Thus being unable to worship certain men in their presence, they, bowing down, honored them in their absence, by making statues of them, and worshipping one for the other whom they had a mind to honor. They made an image that they might honor as present him that was absent. 9. Of such also are those men who love and honor other men more than God. He that loveth his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. 10. Put your trust not in princes and the children of man, in whom there is no salvation. 11. 3. From presumption. Some, because of their presumption, made themselves be called gods. Such, for example, was Nabuchodonosor. Judith 3:13. Thy heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I'm God. 12. Such are also those who believe more in their own pleasures than in the precepts of God. They worship themselves as gods, or by seeking the pleasures of the flesh, they worship their own bodies instead of God. Their God is their belly. 13. We must, therefore, avoid all these things. WHYWE should adore ONEGOD. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. As we have already said, the first commandment forbids us to worship other than the one God. We shall now consider 5 reasons for this. God's dignity. The first reason is the dignity of God, which, were it belittled in any way, would be an injury to God. We see something similar to this in the customs of men. Reverence is due to every degree of dignity. Thus, a traitor to the king, his zeal robs him of what he ought to maintain. Such too, is the conduct of some towards God. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of a corruptible man. 14. This is highly displeasing to God. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven things. 15. For it must be known, that the dignity of God consists in his omniscience, since the name of God, Deus, is from seeing. And this is one of the signs of divinity, show the things that are to come hereafter, and we shall know that ye are God. 16. All things are naked and open to his eyes. 17. But this dignity of God is denied him by practitioners of divination, and of them, it is said, should not the people seek of their God, for the living and the dead. 18. God's bounty. We receive every good from God, and this also is of the dignity of God, that he is the maker and giver of all good things. When thou openest thy hand, they shall all be filled with good. 13. And this is implied in the name of God, namely, Deus, which is said to be distributor, that is, dater, of all things, because he fills all things with his goodness. You are, indeed, ungrateful if you do not appreciate what you have received from him, and, furthermore, you make for yourself another god, just as the sons of Israel made an idol, after they had been brought out of Egypt. I will go after my lovers. 20. One does this also when one puts too much trust in someone other than God, and this occurs when one seeks help from another. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the name of the Lord. 21. Thus, the apostle says, now that you have known God, how turn you again to the weak and needy elements? You observe days and months and times and years. 22. The strength of our promise. The third reason is taken from our solemn promise. For we have renounced the devil, and we have promised fidelity to God alone. This is a promise which we cannot break. A man making void the lie of Moses deeth without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more think ye he deserveth punishment who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath esteemed the blood of the testament unclean, by which he was sanctified, and hath offered an affront to the Spirit of grace. 23. Whilst her husband liveth, she shall be called an adulteress, if she be with another man. 24. Woe, then, to the sinner who enters the land by two ways, and who halts between two sides. 25. Against service of the devil. The fourth reason is because of the great burden imposed by service to the devil. You shall serve strange gods day and night, who will give you no rest. 26. The devil is not satisfied with leading to one sin, but tries to lead on to others. Whosoever sins shall be a slave of sin. 27. It is, therefore, not easy for one to escape from the habit of sin. Thus, Saint Gregory says, the sin which is not remitted by penance soon draws man into another sin. 28. The very opposite of all this is true of service to God, for his commandments are not a heavy burden. My yoke is sweet and my burden light. 29. A person is considered to have done enough, if he does forget as much as what he has done, for the sake of sin. For as you have yielded your members to serve uncleanness and iniquity, unto iniquity, so now yield your members to serve justice unto sanctification. 30. But on the contrary, it is written of those who serve the devil, we weary ourselves in the way of iniquity and destruction, and have walked through hard ways. 31. And again, they have labored to commit iniquity. 32. Greatness of the reward. The fifth reason is taken from the greatness of the reward or prize. In no law are such rewards promised as in the law of Christ. Rivers flowing with milk and honey are promised to the Mohammedans, to the Jews the land of promise, but to Christians the glory of the angels. They shall be as the angels of God in heaven. 33. It was with this in mind that Saint Peter asked, Lord, to whom shall we go? How hast the words of eternal life. 34. Second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This is the second commandment of the law. Just as there is but one God whom we must worship, so there is only one God whom we should reverence in a special manner. This, first of all, has reference to the name of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. 1. THE meaning OFINVAIN. In vain, has a threefold meaning. Sometimes it is said of that which is false, they have spoken vain things every one to his neighbor. 2. One, therefore, takes the name of God in vain when one uses it to confirm that which is not true love, not a false oath. 3. Thou shalt not live, because thou hast spoken a lie in the name of the Lord. 4. Anyone so doing does injury to God, to himself, and to all men. It is an insult to God, because, when you swear by God, it is nothing other than to call him to witness, and when you swear falsely, you either believe God to be ignorant of the truth, and thus place ignorance in God, whereas, all things are naked and open to his eyes, 5. Or you think that God loves a lie, whereas he hates it, thou wilt destroy all that speak lie. 6. Or, again, you detract from his power, as if he were not able to punish a lie. Likewise, such a one does an injury to himself, for he binds himself to the judgment of God. It is the same thing to say, by God this is so, as to say, may God punish me, if it is not so. He, finally, does an injury to other men, for there can be no lasting society, unless men believe one another. Matters that are doubtful may be confirmed by oaths, and oath and confirmation puts an end to all controversy. 7. Therefore, he who violates this precept is injury to God, is cruel to himself, and harmful to other men. Sometimes, vain signifies useless. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are vain. 8. God's name, therefore, is taken in vain, when it is used to confirm vain things. In the old law it was forbidden to swear falsely, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. 9. And Christ forbade the taking of oaths, except in case of necessity. You have heard that it was said to them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself. But I say to you not to swear at all. 10. And the reason for this is that in no part of our body are we so weak as in the tongue. 4. The tongue no man can tame. 11. And thus even in like matter one can perjure himself. Let your speech be yea, no, number. But I say to you not to swear at all. 12. Know 12 that an oath is like medicine, which is never taken continually but only in times of necessity. Hence, the Lord adds, and that which is over and above these is evil. 13. Let not the mouth be accustomed to swearing, for in it there are many false. And let not the name of God be usual in thy mouth, and meddle not with the names of saints, for thou shalt not escape free from them. 14. Sometimes, in vain, mean sin or injustice. O ye sons of men, how long will you be dull of heart? Why do you love vanity? 15. Therefore, he who swears to commit a sin, takes the name of his God in vain. Justice consists in doing good and avoiding evil. Therefore, if you take an oath to steal or commit some crime of this sort, you sin against justice. And although you must not keep this oath, you are still guilty of perjury. Herod did this against John. 16. It is likewise against justice when one swears not to do some good act, as not to enter a church or a religious community. And although this oath too is not binding, yet, despite this, the person himself is a perjurer. Conditions of a lawful oath. One cannot, therefore, swear to a falsehood, or without good reason, or in any way against justice, and thou shalt swear as the Lord liveth, in truth, and in judgment, and in justice. 17. Sometimes, vain also means foolish. All men are vain, in whom there is not the knowledge of God. 18. Accordingly, he who takes the name of God foolishly, by blasphemy, takes the name of God in vain, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, dying let him die. 19. Taking God's name justly. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. However, the name of God may be taken for 6 purposes. First, to confirm something that is said, as in an oath. In this we show God alone is the first truth, and also we show due reverence to God. For this reason it was commanded in the old law, that one must not swear, except by God. 20. They who swore otherwise violated this order by the name of strange gods. You shall not swear. 21. Although at times one swears by creatures, nevertheless, it must be known, that such is the same as swearing by God. When you swear by your soul or your head, it is as if you bind yourself to be punished by God. Thus but I call God to witness upon my soul. 22. And when you swear by the gospel, you swear by God who gave the gospel. But they sin who swear either by God, or by the gospel for any trivial reason. The second purpose is that of sanctification. Thus, baptism sanctifies, for as Saint Paul says, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. 23. Baptism, however, does not have power, except through the invocation of the Trinity. But thou, O Lord, art among us, and thy name is called upon by us. 24. The third purpose is the expulsion of our adversary. Hence, before baptism we renounce the devil. Only let thy name be called upon us, take away our reproach. 25. Wherefore, if one return to his sins, the name of God has been taken in vain. Fourthly, God's name is taken, in order to confess it. How then shall they call on him, in whom they have not believed? 26. And again, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. 27. First of all, we confess by word of mouth, that we may show forth the glory of God, and every one that calleth upon my name, I have created him for my glory. 28. Accordingly, if one says anything against the glory of God, He takes the name of God in vain. Secondly, we confess God's name by our works, when our very actions show forth God's glory, that they may see your good works, and may glorify your Father who is in heaven. 29. Through you the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. 30. Fifthly, it is taken for our defense. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the just runneth to it, and shall be exalted. 31. In my name they shall cast out devils. 32. There is no other name under heaven given to men, whereby we must be saved. 33. Lastly, it is taken, in order to make our works complete. Thus says the apostle, all whatsoever you do in word or work, to all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 34. The reason is because our help is in the name of the Lord. 35. Sometimes it happens that one begins a work imprudently, by starting with a vow, for instance, and then not completing either the work or the vow, and this again is taking God's name in vain. If thou hast vowed anything to God, defer not to pay it. 36. Vow and pay to the Lord your God all ye that are round about him, bring presents. 37. For an unfaithful and foolish promise displeaseth him. 38. The third commandment, remember, that you keep holy the Sabbath day. This is the third commandment of the law, and very suitably is it so. For we are first commanded to adore God in our hearts, and the commandment is to worship one God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. In the second commandment we are told to reverence God by word. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The third commands us to reverence God by act. It is remember, that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 1. God wished that a certain day be set aside on which men direct their minds to the service of the Lord. Reasons for this commandment. There are five reasons for this commandment. The first reason was to put aside error, for the Holy Spirit saw that in the future some men would say that the world had always existed. In the last days there shall come deceitful scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is his promise or his coming? For since the time that the Father slept, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willfully ignorant of, that the heavens were before, and the earth out of water, and through water, created by the word of God too. God, therefore, wished that one day should be set aside in memory of the fact that he created all things in 6 days, and that on the seventh day he rested from the creation of new creatures. This is why the Lord placed this commandment in the law, saying, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Jews kept holy the Sabbath in memory of the first creation, but Christ at his coming brought about a new creation. For by the first creation an earthly man was created, and by the second a heavenly man was formed. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. 3. This new creation is through grace, which came by the resurrection, that is, Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. 4. And thus, because the resurrection took place on Sunday, we celebrate that day, even as the Jews observed the Sabbath on account of the first creation. 5. The second reason for this commandment is to instruct us in our faith in the Redeemer. For the flesh of Christ was not corrupted in the sepulchre, and thus it is said, moreover my flesh also shall rest in hope. 6. Nor wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. 7. Wherefore, God wished that the Sabbath should be observed, and that just as the sacrifices of the old law signified the death of Christ, so should the quiet of the Sabbath signify the rest of his body in the sepulchre. But we do not now observe these sacrifices, because with the advent of the reality and the truth, figures of it must cease, just as the darkness is dispelled with the rising of the sun. Nevertheless, we keep the Saturdays in veneration of the Blessed Virgin, in whom remained a firm faith on that Saturday, while Christ was dead. The third reason is, that this commandment was given to strengthen and foreshadow the fulfillment of the promise of rest. For rest indeed was promised to us, and it shall come to pass on that day, that when God shall give thee rest from thy labor, and from thy vexation, and from the hard bondage, wherewith thou didst serve before. 8. My people shall sit in the beauty of peace, and in the tabernacle of confidence, and in wealthy rest. 9. We hope for rest from three things: from the labors of the present life, from the struggles of temptations, and from the servitude of the devil. Christ promised this rest to all those who will come to him. Come to me, all ye that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take up my yoke upon you, and learn of me, because I'm meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is sweet and my burden light. 10. However, the Lord, as we know, worked for 6 days, and on the seventh he rested, because it is necessary to do a perfect work. Behold with your eyes how I have labored a little, and have found much rest to myself. 11. For the period of eternity exceeds the present time incomparably more than 1,000 years exceeds one day. Fourthly, this commandment was given for the increase of our love for the corruptible body is a load upon the soul. 12. And man always tends downwards towards earthly things unless he takes means to raise himself above them. It is indeed necessary to have a certain time for this. In fact, some do this continually. I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall ever be in my mouth. 13. And again pray without ceasing. 14. These shall enjoy the everlasting Sabbath. There are others who do this, that is, excite love for God during a certain portion of the day. 7 times a day I have given praise to thee. 15. And some, in order to avoid being entirely apart from God, find it necessary to have a fixed day, lest they become too lukewarm in their love of God. If you call the Sabbath delightful, then shalt thou be delighted in the Lord. 16. Again, then shalt thou abound in delights of the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face to God. 17. And accordingly this day is not set aside for the sole exercise of games, but to praise and pray to the Lord God. Wherefore, Saint Augustine says that it is a lesser evil to plow than to play on this day. 18. Lastly, we are given this commandment in order to exercise works of kindliness to those who are subject to us. For some are so cruel to themselves and to others that they labor ceaselessly all on account of money. This is true especially of the Jews, who are most avaricious. Observe the day of the Sabbath to sanctify it, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest, even as thyself. 19. This commandment, therefore, was given for all these reasons. FROMWHATWE should abstain onthe Sabbath. Remember that you keep holy sanctify the Sabbath day. We have already said that, as the Jews celebrated the Sabbath, so do we Christians observe the Sunday and all principal feasts. Let us now see in what way we should keep these days. We ought to know that God did not say to keep the Sabbath, but to remember to keep it holy. The word holy may be taken in two ways. Sometimes, holy, sanctified, is the same as pure, but you are washed, but you are sanctified. 20, that is, made holy. Then again at times, holy is said of a thing consecrated to the worship of God, as, for instance, a place, a season, vestments, and the holy vessels. Therefore, in these two ways we ought to celebrate the feasts, that is, both purely and but giving ourselves over to divine service. We shall consider two things regarding this commandment. First, what should be avoided on a feast day, and secondly, what we should do. We ought to avoid three things. The first is servile work. Avoidance of servile work. Neither do ye any work sanctify the Sabbath day. 21. And so also it is said in the law, you shall do no servile work therein. 22. Now, servile work is bodily work, whereas free work, that is non-servile work, is done by the mind, for instance, the exercise of the intellect and such like. And one cannot be servilely bound to do this kind of work. When servile work is lawful, we ought to know, however, that servile work can be done on the Sabbath for four reasons. The first reason is necessity. Wherefore, the Lord excused the disciples plucking the ears of corn on the Sabbath, as we read in St. Matthew's 3:5. The second reason is, when the work is done for the service of the church, as we see in the same gospel how the priests did all things necessary in the temple on the Sabbath day. The third reason is for the good of our neighbor, for on the Sabbath the Savior cured one having a withered hand, and he refuted the Jews who reprimanded him, by citing the example of the sheep in a pit of it. And the fourth reason is the authority of our superiors. Thus, God commanded the Jews to circumcise on the Sabbath. 13. Avoidance of sin and negligence on the Sabbath. Another thing to be avoided on the Sabbath is sin. Take heed to your souls, and carry no burdens on the Sabbath day. 24. This weight and burden on the soul is sin. My iniquities as a heavy burden are become heavy upon me. 25. Now, sin is a servile work, because whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. 26. Therefore, when it is said, you shall do no servile work therein. 27. It can be understood of sin. Thus, one violates this commandment as often as one commits sin on the Sabbath, and so both by working and by sin God is offended. 28. The Sabbaths and other festivals I will not abide. And why? Because your assemblies are wicked. My soul hateth your new moon. 29. And your solemnities, they are become troublesome to me. 30. Another thing to avoid on the Sabbath is idleness, for idleness hath taught much evil. 31. Saint Jerome says, always do some good work, and the devil will always find you occupied. 32. Hence, it is not good for one to keep only the principal feasts, if on the others one would remain idle. The king's honor loveth judgment. 33. That is to say, discretion. Wherefore, we read that certain of the Jews were in hiding, and their enemies fell upon them, but they, believing that they were not able to defend themselves on the Sabbath, were overcome and killed. 34. The same thing happens to many who are idle on the feast days. The enemies have seen her, and have mocked at her Sabbaths. 35. But all such should do as those Jews did. of whom it is said, whosoever shall come up against us to fight on the Sabbath day, we will fight against him. 36. WIDHWHATTHE Sabbath and feasts should be occupied. Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. We have already said that men must keep the feast days holy, and that holy is considered in two ways, namely, pure and consecrated to God. Moreover, we have indicated what things we should abstain from on these days. Now it must be shown with what we should occupy ourselves, and they are three in number. The offering of sacrifice. The first is the offering of sacrifices. 37. In the book of Numbers XVIE, it is written how God ordered that on each day there be offered one lamb in the morning and another in the evening, but on the Sabbath day the number should be doubled. And this showed that on the Sabbath we should offer sacrifice to God from all that we possess. All things are thine, and we have given thee what we received from thy hand. 38. We should offer, first of all, our soul to God, being sorry for our sins. A sacrifice to God is an afflicted spirit. 39. And also pray for his blessings. Let my prayer be directed as incense in thy sight. 40. Feast days were instituted for that spiritual joy which is the effect of prayer. Therefore, on such days our prayers should be multiplied. Secondly, we should offer our body, by mortifying it with fasting. 41. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifice. 42. And also by praising God the sacrifice of praise shall honor me. 43. And thus on these days our hymns should be more numerous. Thirdly, we should sacrifice our possessions by giving alms, and do not forget to do good, and to impart, for by such sacrifice God's favor is obtained. 44. And this alms ought to be more than on other days, because the Sabbath is a day of common joy. Send portions to them that have not prepared for themselves, because it is the holy day of the Lord. 45. Hearing of God's word. Our second duty on the Sabbath is to be eager to hear the word of God. This the Jews did daily, the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath. 46. Therefore Christians, whose justice should be more perfect, ought to come together on the Sabbath to hear sermons, and participate in the services of the church. He that is God, heareth the words of God. 47. We likewise ought to speak with profit to others. Let no evil speech proceed from your mouth, but that which is good unto sanctification. 48. These two practices are good for the soul of the sinner, because they change his heart for the better. Are not my words as a fire, saith the Lord, and as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? 49. The opposite effect is had on those, even the perfect, who neither speak nor hear profitable things. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake, ye just, and sin not. 50. Thy words have I hidden in my heart. 51. God's word enlightens the ignorant. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. 52. It inflames the lukewarm. The word of the Lord inflamed him. 53. The spiritual Sabbath. The contemplation of divine things may be exercised on the Sabbath. However, this is for the more perfect. 54. O taste, and see that the Lord is sweet. 55. And this is because of the quiet of the soul. For just as the tired body desires rest, so also does the soul. But the soul's proper rest is in God. Be thou unto me a God, a protector, and a house of refuge. 56. There remaineth therefore a day of rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, the same also hath rested from his works, as God did from his. 57. When I go into my house, I shall repose myself with her. That is wisdom. 58. However, before the soul arrives at this rest, three other rests must precede. The first is the rest from the turmoil of sin, but the wicked are like the raging sea which cannot rest. 59. The second rest is from the passions of the flesh, because the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. 60. The third is rest from the occupations of the world. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and art troubled about many things. 61. The heavenly Sabbath. 62. And then after all these things the soul rests peacefully in God. If thou call the Sabbath delightful, then shalt thou be delighted in the Lord. 63. The saints gave up everything to possess this rest, for it is a pearl of great price which a man having found, hid it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. 64. This rest in truth is eternal life and heavenly joy. This is my rest forever and ever. Here will I dwell, for I have chosen it. 65. And to this rest, may the Lord bring us all. The fourth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thou mayest be long lived upon the land which the Lord thy God will give thee. 1. Perfection for men consists in the love of God and of neighbor. Now, the three commandments which were written on the first tablet pertain to the love of God. For the love of neighbor there were the seven commandments on the second tablet. But we must love, not in word nor in tongue, but in deed, and in truth too. For a man to love thus, he must do two things, namely, avoid evil and do good. Certain of the commandments prescribe good acts, while others forbid evil deeds. And we must also know that to avoid evil is in our power, but we are incapable of doing good to everyone. Thus, Saint Augustine says that we should love all, but we are not bound to do good to all. But among those to whom we are bound to do good are those in some way united to us. Thus, if any man have not care of his own, and especially of those of his house, he hath denied the faith. 3. Now, amongst all our relatives there are none closer than our father and mother. We ought to love God first, says Saint Ambrose, then our father and mother. Hence, God has given us the commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. 4.